Hey, this is Ryan Thomas. Thanks so much for listening to On the Road and supporting Faith Radio. You are just the very best, and we appreciate you so much. Enjoy the show.
Discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Well, he's crafted number one songs, gold records, and his music has tens of millions of streams online. But Phil Wickham's new music might just take you by surprise. The Fresh Worship of Sing Along 4 is the product of a man, his guitar, and an auditorium full of Jesus followers worshiping together. But that's it. The backing instruments and layers of production we've come to expect are noticeably absent, and it sounds truly awesome. Today we welcome the recording artist and worship leader behind hits like This Is Amazing Grace and Living Hope. And he also just appeared in a major motion picture called Breakthrough. And we welcome him on the road today. Greetings to you, Phil. What a pleasure to have you. Thanks so much for being here.
Ryan, it's so good to be on with you. Thanks for inviting me to talk with you today.
Absolutely. Is the day treating you well so far? Has it been a pleasant day thus far?
You know what? I almost feel sad saying it because it's too good to be true. I feel sad for anybody that's not here. I live in San Diego, California.
Oh, man.
This time of year, I mean, all the year is pretty mild and nice, but this time of year is, you know, most of the year around here, people think it gets hot, you know, like they think of like Florida, but it's not like that. Like most of the year, you need a sweatshirt at night, even in the summer, and which is nice because it gets like 80 degrees during the day and then cools down to like 65. During the evening. And so I just took my kids out for some ice cream. I've got three little girls and a little boy. So we went and got some avocado toast and ice cream and just living it up, sat in the sun. I mean, it's too good to be true.
Well, it really is striking when you fire up the music player and dig into the audio goodness of this album. It really does sound different. And maybe, you know, I was thinking to myself listening to, we're so used to the sound of limitless layers of production and backing instruments that at first we don't even recognize what's happening. But this really is a man, his guitar, in this audience just of people who love Jesus worshiping together. And the idea for the simplicity of this goodness goes back to when you were playing with the noble David Crowder. Is that right, sir?
Yes. I've been a fan of David Crowder since I was a youth group worship leader in high school. I just love that guy. And so when I ended up getting signed to a record label in my early 20s, I was 21, one of the first tours I was invited to be a part of was a David Crowder tour. He asked me to come out. But the way he wanted to structure the tour was have a band open and then an acoustic guy in the middle, just me and an acoustic guitar, and then they play to kind of break up the night. And so honestly, I thought I was going to be handicapped. You know, I thought, man, I wish I could bring my band. I wish we could do the whole production thing. But I thought, well, at least I get to go on tour with David Crowder. This is amazing. But what I found on that tour was something very special. These songs I was writing for my home church to sing, I had no idea, but they had already kind of been infiltrating little communities all over the country. And so when I would show up in like Kansas City or Orlando and I'd start singing these songs with just me and acoustic guitar, like a large amount of the crowd started singing along with me. And I was floored. I was blown away because until then I was like youth group camp worship leader, you know, and now I'm like traveling around and these songs I'm writing from my church are going before me to other churches. And now they're coming out to the concert and singing. And it was just this really beautiful moment where it, like the crowd kind of became my backing band, you know, with just their voices and harmonies. And so it got me thinking, you know, I love doing these big production, you know, records with all the band and drums and electric guitar. But this needs to be captured somehow. And so the next date on my calendar was in Portland at a church called, at the time it was called Solid Rock Christian Fellowship. And so I called my producer and said, hey, can you bring some mics up? And so he brought some mics. We mic'd up the whole room and my guitar and everything. We just did this night. We didn't tell anybody we were even recording it. We just did this night. And it was just this really epic moment. And we captured something really special and raw and real. And we called it Sing Along, And honestly, I thought, well, people aren't going to want to buy this because it's not this big production thing. So we just gave it away on my website. And this was before music was kind of thought of as free. This was before Spotify or anything like that. So we gave away to him on my website and gave away like 150,000 of them. And then we thought, well, maybe there's something to these sing-along records. So I just did my fourth one here in Orange County, California. And there's still some of my most favorite projects to work on.
Yeah, there's the voice of Mr. Phil Wickham, the recording artist and worship leader behind hits like This Is Amazing Grace and Living Hope, the newest Sing-Along 4 worship project released early this summer. There's something so fascinating, I think, about a performer, a musician that does what you do. And I've heard it discussed by others in your field as well before. It's a wonderful thing to perform. There's a wonderful energy when you perform. But for people that have a heart for it, for people that have the purpose for it, to lead people into worship, that is an entirely different thing. Can you take us inside what that means for you?
It's an interesting place because I've found that being a worship leader, what you really are doing is using music to serve, you know? So like your own kind of voice and artistry and ambitions and what you want your music to do as an artist takes a backseat to saying, how do these songs and how does this music serve my church and serve the body of Christ to help them to connect in a way through the music, to connect with Jesus, you know, to connect with the presence of God. And so sometimes that question, even you're at odds with the artist and the performer is at odds with the worship leader and the servant, you know?
Of course.
And so in my mind, I kind of keep those worship songs and the moments that I'm there to lead worship, it's a sacred thing where it's like my own ambitions and my own desire to like kind of come across as an artist or a creative guy takes a backseat to saying, how do I serve this moment? And how do I serve these people? And what are the right songs to do for this time? And sometimes that means even drawing from a Hillsong or Bethel or Jesus Culture and not even doing my own songs. You know, it depends on where I'm at. And so I guess ultimately what it looks for me as to lead worship means to come not with an artist's heart, but with a servant's heart, you know, and say, how can I serve this moment?
Well, that's fascinating. Thanks for the look inside that. That's really interesting.
Sounds like, wow, Phil must be really holy because he likes to serve with his music. But that I really don't mean it like that at all. You know, I think some people are given we're all given stuff in our hearts that just kind of light us up on the inside, you know? Mm-hmm. And so to come and say, I want to serve this group of people and create a moment where they're singing and they're engaging with God, you know, it just, God has put it inside of me for those moments. My heart just lights up I feel so satisfied. I feel like, wow, I accomplished what I came here to do, you know, and that's what God has just put inside of me. And then I watch other guys like one of my, he's actually kind of a close neighbor from where I live, John Foreman of Switchfoot, you know?
Oh, yes.
He's a prolific songwriter. But in a way, he's kind of a worship leader. I mean, he sings about truth and about God and about love, and he leads people into a deeper place of thinking about God. But he is an artist, you know, he's a creator and a performer, and he does it all to the glory of God. But like God has put inside of him and that whole band to create moments where people are just in awe of the art, in awe of the moment. And then he uses that to point people to God. But I don't think he would classify himself as a worship leader. And that doesn't make him any more or less holy. It just means he's sitting in what God has called him to do. And I know it lights his heart on fire to write a song that like that moves a person, you know, and to perform it in such a way that moves their heart. And I love that too. But ultimately what I want my music to do is to make a heart say, wow, God, you're amazing. I want to lift my voice up too and sing, you know, how great you are, God.
Well, there was this moment on your path to where you are today that was really a moment of decision in many ways between these two things you're talking about right now. You're 19 years old and you're performing in a band with your friends and you guys have big dreams, you know, about going on and continuing what you're doing, but you're wondering as well about this worship that you feel a nudge toward as well. You're at this music festival in Great Britain and a massive storm comes up. And what happens next is one of the biggest moments in your journey. Can you take us through it?
Yeah, exactly. Me and my buddies were like, we're ready to be the next U2, you know? We wanted to take over the world. But all the while, I was leading worship at churches and summer camps for youth groups, and I put out this little worship record that I did with me and my dad recorded, like, in the back room of our house. I thought no one would even listen to it, but it was really kind of taking off in Southern California, and a lot of people were singing the songs, and so there was something happening in the worship thing. And I just know that when I was leading worship, I felt such a peace and a satisfaction. And that when I was out doing the band thing, I just felt like, man, I was just striving to be, I just wanted to be cool. I wanted to be in a band. I wanted people to think I was artistic. I wanted people to think I was creative. Mm-hmm. I had, and I wasn't even being honest with myself that these were all my motives. But now in hindsight, I realized, like, when I was leading worship and I was just serving the body of Christ, like, my heart was just at peace and satisfied. And when I was out just trying to be a rock star, for me, like, it was just, I was trying to make it feel right, but it just, something about it didn't feel right for me. And I was in Great Britain, like you said, and this rain started pouring right before we were going to go on stage, like crazy downpour, like we don't ever get in California. And so they had to move all the PA into this indoor/outdoor tent area to keep everything safe from the rain. And so they moved all the speakers and everything in there, all the guitars, all the drums, and they're trying to put a giant festival inside this like tent made for like 1,000 people. And so they got a guitar line and a vocal mic working. And they said, hey, Phil, like, I know that this is crazy, but get up there and play some acoustic guitar songs, you know? And so I started playing some of my band songs on the acoustic guitar, and no one was even paying attention. It was chaos. There was like 2,500 people in this tent that was made for like 800, you know, and just crazy. And then all of a sudden there's this big boom and all the lights and power and sound goes out. By this time it was dark. It was nighttime. And then it, like, everybody got silent, and all you could hear this like pouring rain, and you could kind of see the splashes kind of right outside the tent, and everybody kind of got quiet, and like, what's going to happen next, you know? And so I stepped to the front of the stage, and it just came to my mind, this song, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. And it was kind of a spiritual music festival. It wasn't like a Christian one. But there's a lot of Christians there, and
sure,
a lot of them ended up knowing that song. And it was like this Holy Spirit moment, like one of the top five moments of my life in a spiritual way of just like feeling God in the room. And it blew through the room. And then it's just this roar of like, may it be a sweet, sweet in your ear. Everybody's singing this song so loud. And right at the end of that line, in your ear, an explosion happened right on that word again. The generator kicked back into gear. The lights came on. Everybody cheered like we were like on a Braveheart, you know, field or something about to go into battle. And then I just ended up going into all these worship songs that I knew from leading worship at youth group, and people were right there with me. And I just remember thinking, this is heaven. I mean, this, I had this internal struggle about who am I, what am I supposed to do? And in that moment, I felt God was just saying, like, my whole question to God was like, what's your call in my life? What am I supposed to do? And then I didn't feel like God said, this is who you are. You are called to be a worship leader. It was more like Phil, like I just was flooded with peace and joy and satisfaction. I just felt like God said, you already know. Like, look at your heart right now. You already know what I've called you to do.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, you've called me to be right. This is what you called me to do. I've known all along. I've just been trying to be a cool rock star guy, you know? And so ever since then, my music has been ultimately just to serve the church and to lead people into hopefully a deeper connection with God.
Well, the song Highest Praise off the new record really stuck out to me for just how purposeful and how direct it is, with lyrics built around the chorus of, we give you the highest praise, Jesus our Savior, you're worthy of it all. And I believe this was a special one for you because you got to write it and perform it together with someone that you really look up to.
Yes. This is, Highest Praise has become a very special song to me for several reasons. One, like you said, is the way it was born. It actually began, I was talking to my pastor. The pastor of the church is a really good friend that I go to. We go to a little church here in Encinitas, California. It's a pretty new church plant called Light Church. And My friend, who's a pastor, his name's Benji. We were talking, and I said, Benji, if there's a song that you wish we had at church, like, what's a new song? Like, just, I kind of need a goal for another worship song. Like, what should I aim for? And it's been really amazing because Encinitas is one of the least churched areas in Southern California. Very spiritual, but as far as just Christian churches, there's very few per capita. So there's been a lot of young people coming to the church and becoming Christians, which is so exciting, and lots of people being baptized. And it seems like every month the church doubles in size just from new believers coming to our church. And so he was just saying, you know what, like a simple song, if for these people that are coming to church for the first time, a song that if they hear the chorus, they can sing right away. And then with verses that tell them why we're singing that chorus, like just simple. And I was like, well, that sounds fun, because simplicity done well is really, really hard, I think, in any creative space, let alone music. And so I was thinking about it and praying over it. And a few days later, I was at this conference in Nashville. It was a worship leaders conference. And a few guys I really look up to are there. Joel Houston from Hillsong, Chris Tomlin was there, and Matt Redman was there, and myself. Matt had played earlier that day, and he was still sticking around. And while I was leading, this idea of "We give you the highest praise" came to mind. And then I was kind of remembering as I was singing this conversation with my pastor, and so I just started singing. I lift my voice to sing of your goodness. I lift my voice to sing of your love. I lift my voice to sing hallelujah. Jesus, our Savior, you're worthy of it all. And I went, we give you the highest. It just kind of, I'd had it in my heart, my mind, but I'd never really sung it before. And just on stage in front of 2,500 worship leaders, this song just kind of started pouring out.
Wow.
And it came out of nowhere. Wow. And it felt like this real special God moment. Because honestly, song, that doesn't happen with me. I'm a very cerebral, I think through what I write, you know.
Sure.
I'm not like, I don't wake up from dreams and have a song that I write down, you know, though I would love it if that happened.
Sure.
God, we're asking for it. So I sang the song, and it ended up being this really special moment. Everybody joined in, and I got off stage, and Matt was backstage. He's like, what was that song? I never heard it before. And I said, I haven't heard it before either. I guess it's a new one that just got written, but it still needs a couple verses. And he's like, would you like to finish it out with me? And he said, sure. And the next day I got a text with verse 2 and verse 3, these epic lyrics that Matt writes. And it was just done. And I'm just like, oh, wow. My goodness, this is so easy. And then Matt now lives out in Southern California. So I said, hey, do you want to lead this one on Sing Along with Me? He was all for it. And so since then I've led it here and there. And it's just, it kind of like, when you look at it on paper, it's like, this is too simple. This isn't going to work. This is going to be boring. And then I lead it, and it's just like, that was kind of the moment of the set, you know? So I can't wait to, I mean, I love it on sing-along, but I'm also can't wait to put it on my next record with, you know, I want to have it really build with the band at the end, and drums and all that stuff. So I can't wait to do a band version too.
Well, some pretty amazing stories and some amazing encouragement and worship with Mr. Phil Wickham today on the road for Faith Radio. Phil is the recording artist and worship leader behind hits like This Is Amazing Grace and Living Hope, who released his new Sing Along 4 worship project early this summer. Well, one of the stories that I was not aware of at all in your journey to this point is this issue that you have about 5 years ago where you discover something called a vocal polyp on your vocal cord. And on your path of dealing with that medically, you end up facing some very real doubts about whether your voice is going to return to what it's been. Could you just take us through that journey and what your doctors were telling you about what to expect?
Yes. About 5 years ago, I was out on tour, and every night I knew something was different. It wasn't just tired voice. Like, I wasn't just getting laryngitis. Like, I couldn't sing. Like, my voice didn't hurt, but when I tried to sing, nothing was coming out. Or when it was coming out, like, I could not hit notes. It was the weirdest, kind of scary thing. And so by like the fourth night in this tour, the guy who was promoting the tour said, dude, there's something up with your voice. Like, you don't have to finish out these nights. I had 1 weekend left. or another week left. He's like, man, let's postpone it. You go home, figure it out, you know? And when that comes from the promoter, then you know it's like, okay, this, you know, because usually they're like, let's keep it going, you know, let's power through. And so I go home, I get it checked out. A couple doctors check me out, and they go down with the camera, and there's on my vocal cord this kind of big, it's different. A nodule is like a callus, which a lot of singers get. I've gotten them here and there, and you just kind of rest it and baby it, and it gets better. But a polyp is like a blister that doesn't really go away. They can go away occasionally. So we tried for a whole month. I was silent and took steroids for 2 of the weeks just to see if it would, my body would fight this polyp and heal. And nothing changed after a whole month of no talking, no singing, which was like so tough, especially with little kids, you know, just not being able to talk at all. So then they said, okay, why don't you talk on it for a bit? And then we want you to come in on 2 days after talking on it. So I talked on it, came in, and they said, okay, it's hemorrhaging, which means that there was blood coming out of it, which is gross, but you know, it's not a place you're supposed to be breathing. It's considered internal bleeding. So they said, okay, we need to do surgery, take this polyp out, replace the skin that's there with skin from your other side of your mouth. You know, it was a kind of a real kind of whole surgery thing. And so they put me under, do this thing. I've got to be silent for another 6 weeks. But they check me every 2 just to see how the healing is going. And so I go in after 2 weeks and they check me out. And I remember them gasping in that room because they could not believe, they could not believe that it was healing the way it was. They said, honestly, if we didn't do this surgery, we wouldn't even know where to look. Like it looks completely healed.
Wow.
And which was such a miracle, because usually it could take 6 months for that. And what I attribute that to 100% is that I got on Twitter and Instagram and emails and Facebook, tens of thousands of people saying, hey, we're all over the world. We're praying for you. We're praying for you. We're lifting you up in our church. Like, and it was just such a flood of love. There was 6 or 2 months in there between being diagnosed with a polyp and then being healed after the surgery, where I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, they told me, hey, you know, this can be anywhere from like healed quick. We could heal it within maybe 8 weeks to 14 weeks after you get the surgery, or you might have to take a year of rehab. Like, it's very up and down depending on, everybody has a different story, but just be prepared that this might change like the way you do your job. You might not be able to have the endurance you can sing with anymore. We'll get you back singing, but you might sound hoarse. There's a good chance you'll have to change up what you do though.
Wow.
And a very, very small chance that you may have to stop singing altogether just because you won't be able to have the strength in your vocal cord to do it. And so I'm sitting there thinking, well, what do you know what that means for me? This is my job. This is my life. This is honestly, I was scared. I was nervous. I, you know, just felt kind of insecure and with my family, like, how am I going to prepare or provide for my family?
Of course.
But what I felt the most of was like, man, that's my value. That's what I can offer to the world. And if I can't offer that, then who am I, you know? And in that silence, in that time, God reformed and redefined my identity to myself. You know, like that my value isn't first and foremost in what I do or what people say about me or an iTunes review, you know, but it's about what God says about me, you know, and he's my father and I'm his son. I knew all that stuff, but I didn't have a chance in my life to really believe it or really have a chance to believe it by faith, you know, until that moment. It was a life-changing thing, and it changed the way I approach what I do in music. It changed how I approach being a parent and being a father, to live a life out of the overflow of God's love for me instead of out of trying to make people think I'm valuable, you know?
Yes.
It's just so freeing, so freeing.
Wow, wow, wow. Well, what an incredible journey. Mr. Phil Wickham, the recording artist and worship leader behind hits like This Is Amazing Grace and Living Hope, the new Sing-Along 4 worship project released earlier this summer. My word, what an absolute treat to talk with you. But before we do say goodbye, obviously the music available wherever fine music is sold and streamable all over the place. But if there's a central place to go on the web to learn more, where's that place?
Well, there's obviously the website, philwickham.com, but seems like we're going to websites a lot less today and going to Instagram and Facebook a lot more. So I'm pretty active on Instagram. I post most of what's on there. It's run by me. So if you guys really want to kind of get to know me, and I'll post about my kids and my family sometime and new songs I'm writing. That's the best way to stay connected in a more personal way if you all want to follow me on Instagram.
Perfect. And you can find out about the movie project that we didn't even have a chance to talk about here in these 26 minutes called Breakthrough, that's available soon on DVD and Blu-ray and 4K Ultra HD and all these kind of discs. Phil, I don't even know all these kind of discs exist, but it's available.
Yeah, it's all there, man. I can't believe I'm in a full-on 20th Century Fox movie, but somehow I figured out a way to get in a movie. So if y'all want to see me and Lecrae singing some songs in a movie, then check out that Breakthrough one.
Sir, what an absolute treat and a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today. It was a privilege to meet you verbally.
Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.
Thank you so much for listening. Programming like this is available through your support, and you can learn more about partnering financially at myfaithradio.com. We'd also love to hang out with you during the week on Facebook and on Twitter. Just search for On the Road with Ryan Thomas. Talk to you again soon.